Again, it's good to see everyone out this morning. We do have some that are not with us, some that are traveling, and some that are sick. We do need to continue to pray for all those that are needing our thoughts and prayers at this time. As Ed was mentioning, today we'll complete a full year since we began working with congregation here, and we're hoping for continued success as we look at that and continue to grow together and work together towards that hope and promise of eternal life, and that is always been a goal throughout this whole course of everything. Brother Nathan read for us this morning from Matthew chapter 7. Looking at verse 1 down to verse 5. You know, we look at these verses, and we'll talk more about this as time allows us in our lesson this morning. And what we want to consider this morning is looking at a lesson titled, Why Not Consider the Plank in Your Own Eye? You know, people like to put their two cents in things in our world today. Sometimes it is asked, and other times it's not needed or welcomed. But still, people want to be able to, I want to say my part, and I want to be able to let everybody know how everything goes, and that's just the way it's going to be. But also, people like to cast judgment on many things. And what we want to do at times is we want to hold others to a certain standard in life. But when it comes to ourselves, maybe even family members, people that we consider closest, we don't want to hold that same standard. I can remember, I've seen it go on with people that are in my family, where we've had discussion, for instance, on the subject of marriage, divorce, remarriage. And we look at the Bible, yes, this is what the Bible says, and these are people that are members of the church, yes, this is what the Bible says, this is what Jesus taught in matters of this topic, and yes, I believe that what Jesus said about this subject is true. But then, their son or daughter, they get in that situation, well, maybe we shouldn't be holding that same, we're not going to hold that same standard for my child. When it comes to what the Bible says. Because if my child's affected, I don't want that to happen. But Jesus taught different here in Matthew chapter 7 that we are to hold a standard of judgment, but also hold the same standard on ourselves. And we'll examine this as time allows us looking at this morning. Teaching a subject today in looking at these verses, some people will say, well, it's controversial. I have conversation with people. We'll talk about the subject of sin, or we'll talk about the subject of other things throughout the Bible. And then sometimes it'll be said to me, judge not, you be not judged. Have you heard that before? Yeah, someone tried to use that as a reason. Probably, I would say, almost at least half of us have heard that statement said to us before. But let's examine looking at this a little bit this morning. First of all, I want to look at the context and being able to understand the context a little bit more looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 down to verse 5. Because we consider this morning, Jesus is nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's got a few more things that he says here before he concludes here in chapter 7. You know, as we look at chapters 5, 6, and 7, this sermon that Jesus points out is showing the people, they need to change. And it speaks to us to this end. We got to change. Here's what Jesus would say. You've heard that it was said like this, but I say to you, he says it on numerous occasions. It's a lesson showing his power and his authority. Because we just want to look at verse 28 down there and verse 29 of chapter 7 in Matthew. Let's go ahead and read those verses. Looking at what Jesus has to say, you're looking at what the people had to say as well about Jesus. It was, and so it was, verse 28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, that the people were astonished at his teaching. They were amazed. Verse 29, here's the reason why they were astonished. Here's the reason why they were amazed. He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. You know, the scribes, they were there to write everything down, to kind of transcribe everything. Here it was, Jesus was speaking, and if you're right, he was speaking as one who had direct authority. And they marveled at this. In this course of this sermon, Jesus shows others a better way of life. Constantly throughout here, he is trying to improve those lives of those that were willing to listen to him. In fact, it's a way of life that we're to imitate in our own life. Over in 1 Corinthians, keep your thumb marked here in Matthew, we'll come back here in just a moment. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to consider verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, "Who imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." Jesus teaches that we're to imitate him. Paul instructs we're to imitate Christ. He was imitating Christ. Follow my example. I'm following Christ as we look at all this. So Jesus was trying to encourage people. You need to listen. Your ways are not right. Here's how you need to change as we look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he doesn't just stop there. He goes on throughout his teaching. We'll talk more about that as time allows us this morning. But again, looking at Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Let's begin off looking there where Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged." Jesus begins to teach here on the subject of judgment. He says to judge not. You'll get people will quote this word for judge not that you be not judged. And you know, you get one of those, if you get a pen or something, what a lot of people want to do is everything above and below. Get an ink pen, get some white out. Want to mark out everything else. And want to just have that verse right there. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, judge not to be able to. Here is what you're supposed to do. In verse 2. "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you not look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" Jesus said, hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. As we look at the course of all these verses together, again, Jesus said, judge not to be not judged. But then goes on to say, "For whatever, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured." So again, whatever standard we hold, if we try to say, "Well, I'm going to, you know, here's the measuring stick on how we're supposed to be living our life." And we put that up to all the other members. You know, we had that line out here last week. Can't be in the middle ground. So we got this measuring stick on how to be out of the middle ground and everything. And we're going to hold that measuring stick all the way up here. And everybody's got to be measuring at the same measuring stick. That's what Jesus is saying there in verse 2. If you're going to try to show judgment, try to show others a standard of judgment, you got to hold the same standard on yourself as well as you do on others. We cannot expect others to follow a standard of living that we may be showing others to do, but not do it ourselves. If I were to tell someone that I am a Christian, but I'm not living up to that standard, and I'm telling others, you got to do this, you got to do that, here's what you need to do to become a Christian. Here's how you need to be living your life, and I'm not following that same standard. What good am I doing? And that's where Jesus gets into those next few verses. Verse 3 down to verse 5. Where he goes on, you know, using the same, before you try and go to help someone, before you go over and say, "Brother, I see you're in trouble, let me help you," First of all, I got to look at myself. Am I in trouble? Do I need help? How can I go over there and be able to point out, Ed, you got a little something right here in your eye. You got a little sawdust or whatever it might be. And here I'm coming up to Ed, and I got, you know, a piece of this pulpit sitting there hanging out of my eye. I'm going over there, Ed. I need to be able to help you because I see you got some problem there. We got to look at the bigger picture, is what Jesus said. You got to look at yourself before you can try to help someone else out. First, you got to consider yourself on the matter. Why do we look at the small problems or imperfections in someone else when we're missing and we lose sight of the bigger problems that are going on with ourselves? If we're living in sin and we're trying to tell someone you don't need to be living in sin, look, this is going to be, I got to take care of myself first on the matter. Jesus goes on to say, if you're trying to help someone out and you got to try to help someone with their problems, with their sin in their life, and you're sinning yourself, you're playing the hypocrite. You're not living the way you're supposed to be living. You've got to be able to take care of, before you can try to help someone out with their problems, you've got to be able to take care of yourself. What we really need to do is take care of ourselves first, and once we've done that, as Jesus says, once we've done that, we can see more clearly. He goes on to teach here about judgment in verse 2 down to verse 5. Use the same measure of judgment. Use the same standard. But first of all, make sure that you're taking care of yourself. That you are taking care of yourself first. And you have fixed the problems in your life before you can try to go help someone else. What about us? We ask the question, what about us? You know, growing up, everybody says that John 3:16 is the most popular verse or most quoted verse. Jesus came to the world, gave His life, to be able to save all. Whoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But it seems, it's been gaining more and more momentum. It seems now that Matthew 7:1 is the most quoted verse, but also the most verse that's taken out of context. I kid you not, it's a sad situation to see today. Hearing people, I've had conversation both in person, online, email, whatever you want to do. Here it is. Once we get to this point of offering judgment or trying to say, maybe you need to change your life, here comes Matthew 7:1. Misused, misquoted, taken out of context. Again, people want to be able to try to blot out everything above what Jesus said there and everything that was below Matthew 7:1. And we want to just have verse 1 right there. There's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, judge not to be not judged. That is incorrect. Jesus was teaching about this. I think as we look at this and be able to point out that Jesus was teaching about judgment. When people see that someone is possibly judging, they will use this verse quite often. The Bible says, you know, people say, well, the Bible says it right here. But let's ask a question. Again, can we offer judgment? If we did that mindset of blotting everything out, covering everything up from verse, you know, around Matthew 7:1, covering everything up on the bottom, you know, everything, and just had Matthew 7:1 right there, the answer would be no then. If we eliminated verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5, verse 6, if we eliminated every other verse in the Bible and had Matthew 7:1 as the only verse, then the answer would be no. But as we consider the other verses after this, as we look, Jesus goes on to say, for whatever judgment you use, you will be judged. Whatever measure you use, it will be measured back to you. It goes along with understanding that we are to judge. But, again, as we look at what the Bible says right here, We look at all of these verses together. Before we go out into the world and say, well, the preacher up there said to go and judge everybody today, what's the first thing we're supposed to do? Judge ourselves. Look at ourselves first before we try to show that same measure of judgment, the same standard of judgment. Am I measuring up to the standard of the Lord? Am I following the standard of the Lord? You know, we can look over in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, that all Scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for what? For doctrine. For reproof. What's reproof? Reproof is a standard that we go by. God has breathed, God has inspired His Word that we might have the doctrinal teaching, that we might have the reproof, we might have the standard to be able to judge our life too. Again, Jesus taught there in Matthew 7 that we're to judge using the same measure. What measure? Well, God has given us that reproof in our life. What else does it say there in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, verse 17? Proper for doctrine, reproof, for correction. Got to change your life. If you're not living up to the measure, here's how you correct it. But it doesn't leave you there. It says, here's the instruction in right, the continuation, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Again, we could consider what Jesus said there in Matthew 23 as well. If you look at Matthew 23. In Matthew 23, you know, we can look at the entirety of that chapter. Jesus is speaking to the scribes. He's speaking to the Pharisees. What does He say there quite often? He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. What comes after that? Hypocrites! Here's why you're a hypocrite. You know, he's not just going with name calling. He's trying to get them, open your eyes to the situation. You are not holding the same standard on others as you do yourselves. Here's some of the situations that are going on. Here you are, you're being a brood of vipers. You are being, you're blind, dumb. You're leading people astray. Jesus was telling them their faults. But also in all this, He was showing us an example we're supposed to follow. He was holding Himself to the same standard, holding all people to the same standard of judgment. Not just picking on them Pharisees, not just picking on them scribes, but all people. Again, we mentioned 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. We've been blessed with God's Word. We have the reproof of in our life. We have a standard and a way of living that we're to judge ourselves by and live up to. And then if we need to make correction in our life, we can be able to correct it. God's Word has been given that we might be able to do this and receive instruction on maintaining a life of service to God. What we cannot do is we cannot practice hypocrisy. Over in Revelation, if you'll turn there. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to begin with verse 1 and look down to verse 6. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1 down to verse 6. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names even in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, Jesus speaking here to the church in Sardis. The brethren there in Sardis, they thought they were alive. And Jesus, you have a name that you think that you're alive, but they're dead. They were lost. They were claiming to be a church. They were practicing hypocrisy. They were claiming to be a church of Christians gathered together. But their works, as we read in verse 2, were not perfect, were not acceptable before God. What does Jesus tell them to do? You've got to look at your life and you've got to repent. If you're not going to repent, you're going to be dead. You're going to remain dead. But if you will repent, if you will overcome, as we look at verse 5, if you're willing to walk worthy that is pleasing, acceptable to God, I will not blot out your name from the book of life. They're going to overcome the deadness in their life and turn to God. Friends, as we think about this, brothers and sisters, we think about this today. Many people need to hear this. In fact, I should change that word many to all need to hear this. We all need to remind ourselves that we're supposed to be living a certain way, that we're supposed to be living a life of service to God. Those that have not yet turned to God, they need to hear this message today. We got to consider the plank in our own eye first before we try to go help others. People today don't like to be told that they're living in sin. You look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23 with me. Paul says it, and it says it pretty plainly over here. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Where Paul goes on to say here that all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. People don't like to be told that. Some people will hear that and they'll act upon it. They'll respond in a way that could be, I'm in sin, I need to turn from sin. Be like those on the day of Pentecost. Those who gladly received His word were baptized, about 3,000 souls were added to them. It says there in Acts chapter 2 that they were cut to the heart or pricked in the heart where they responded to the gospel message. Or, the other side of it is, they could act like the people that Stephen spoke to in Acts chapter 7. Stephen spoke that you need to repent, you need to turn. It says there in Acts chapter 7, the same words it says in Acts chapter 2. This one, they were cut to the heart. People there that heard Peter and preaching that day in Acts 2, they were cut to the heart, and here's how they responded. People in Acts chapter 7, they heard Stephen, they were cut to the heart. How did they respond? That man needs to be stolen. That man needs to be taken out. We don't like that we're being told that we're living in sin. We don't like what we're being told that we need to change. Stephen went and spoke those things and took him to the grave. They killed him that day. Friends, we've got to be able to be willing to be bold to preach these things. People may not like it, but still needs to be said. Over in Romans 6, verse 23, we read as well that the wages of sin is death. Again, Romans 3, verse 23, that all have sinned. And chapter 6, verse 23 of that same book, it says the wages of sin is death. People don't like to be told that, but guess what? If they're living in sin, they're going to be condemned. They need to hear these messages to be able to repent. That's what Jesus did there in Revelation 2 and 3 as well. Today, people get easily offended. And I'm not saying it's anything new. It just seems that more and more it's the norm. people get offended so easily at things. And what they want to do is they want to use Matthew 7 to try to justify their means. What it is they're trying to tell people, you need to just be quiet. But that shouldn't stop us. We can offer judgment. If you look with me over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's consider verse 24 down to verse 27. Look what Paul says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 down to verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning verse 24, let's look down to verse 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may be able to obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Friends, we're supposed to be working towards that hope and prize at the end. Not this temporary, but the eternal crown, the crown of righteousness that's in the end. Paul says, here's how you got to be. You got to discipline yourself. You got to judge yourself. You got to make sure that you're running the race properly, appropriately. I run thus as in this manner. But I also discipline myself. I discipline myself and bring myself into subjection. And again, he's speaking about himself on the matter, but again, also speaking to us. He says, I myself could become, I got to judge myself first to make sure that I'm running in a way that is pleasing and acceptable to God before I can try to help others. After we offer that judgment for ourselves first, then and only then can we go and help others. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 5. Again, looking at what Paul says, he says, again, you're to judge yourself. You're to run in a race that is pleasing to God. After that, then we can be able to try to help others. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 down to verse 5, he says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Where he says in verse 2, to preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, to convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. You know, as I look right there, and I'll stop right there, we'll read the other verse just a moment. Paul says, you've got to be able to preach the word. You're going to have to offer judgment. Again, first of all, take care of yourself, as what Jesus said back in Matthew 7. Then, as we look at this, now go and preach the word. As he's speaking to Timothy, a faithful worker, a faithful evangelist, preach the word. Convince, rebuke, exalt with all longsuffering and teaching. Do the things that are necessary. Why? Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Again, there's going to come a time when people are not wanting to hear the truth. Friends, we've been dealing with that since Paul said these words back in the first century. It's still going on today. People do not want to hear sound doctrine at times, but it is something that is needed. Even when someone might try to get someone else in to bring in and be able to teach and preach something else, we got to stand firm and make sure that we're preaching and teaching the things according to God. That's what he gets in verse 5. He says to Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Many people may not want to hear the truth, but it still needs to be taught. We got to take care of ourselves before we can try to tell others of the good news or the hope of the gospel. We got to be able to tell others. We got to tell ourselves, I got to make sure that I'm living according to God's word. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation, call today. Maybe you have been considering the plank in your own eye and you realize that you need to have that removed, that you need to turn and obey God this morning. You've not yet done so. You're ready to make your life right with God. You're ready to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism. You realize that you are living in sin and you need to make it right this morning. Come now. Come now. We're ready. We got everything ready this morning. You're ready to have your sins washed in the waters of baptism. You're ready to repent of your sins. You're ready to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can have your sins washed in the waters of baptism this morning. Maybe this morning you are a Christian. Fallen away, and you consider that plank in your own eye once again. You need to have it removed. You're ready to repent. We'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be glad to encourage you. We'll be glad to help you. Maybe this morning you've got that plank. You can see that plank that might be trying to create a hindrance in your life, and you need prayers of encouragement to overcome that, to continue to remain faithful to God. We'll be glad to pray for you. We'll be glad to help you. If there's anyone that is subject to the invitation song, this morning, we're about to sing a song. Here it is. You can help anyone, pray for anyone, encourage anyone. Let me know how we can assist you. Have a seat on the front. You can do it now and walk together while we stand and while we sing.
There's a line that is broad.